This is the Hold Your Goats podcast. 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 Hold Your Goats podcast.
Have you heard of Memphis Meats? Did I tell you about them? Is it like a farm? Like lab cultured meat? Okay, yeah, I've heard of it. It's so cool. They made fun of it on a TV show that we were watching for a while called Better Off Ted or something like that. I don't know what it was. But they were like growing meat in a lab and it was kind of a joke. It was really funny.
It's just like, at first it seems weird, unnatural and weird, but it's molecularly the same. It's got the same texture. You don't have to kill an animal for it.
I think
we really need to get behind it. This factory farming has got to stop.
It's definitely brutal.
It's gross. Factory farming for animals and even vegetation is bad.
The Valentina Mexican hot sauce is so disgusting. A lot of the Mexicans just trash talk it all the time. I still use it. It's not bad. But the rumor is that they like dry their chilies in like a cement room with no lighting, and the floors are like poorly cleansed, and it's just all disgusting. And they just talk crap about Valentina sauce all the time. They're like, whatever, I'll use it still. Not a biggie.
Hot sauce is hot sauce.
Yeah, I mean, but still, like, sanitation and everything.
Is there no, like, FDA or anything that regulates?
I don't even know. Not necessarily. I know that the housing, like, when they build houses, there's codes and standards to meet in the U.S.
Yeah.
But in Mexico, they just do it on their own.
If it stands, it stands.
Pretty much. Yeah. They know the basics, and they put a wall up here, wall up there, and you're good to go.
Wow.
There's no necessary, like, code. It's brutal.
Well, how do you feel about genetically modified organisms?
Depends, man. I don't know what the purpose behind it is. I haven't found one that is necessarily good so far.
Oh, I have.
Have you?
Found a few of them.
Like,
they took... My favorite one is the Alaskan flounder has a protein that breaks up ice crystals.
Okay.
Because it just sits on the bottom of the seafloor in Alaska, up in the Arctic Ocean or whatever. And it needs that protein to break up ice crystals or it would die and freeze to death. So they found a way to extract that code and put it into tomato DNA. So the tomato starts producing the same protein, so you can have frost-resistant tomatoes.
Impressive.
How dope is that?
That is pretty cool.
Yeah. And then another one was they made yellow grain rice, or gold rice, I can't remember what it's called exactly.
I don't know.
But it was for Asian countries that have, like, crazy high poverty, where people just, all they can eat is rice, because that's all they can afford.
Well, yeah. That's what they do. Rice is like a filler food.
But there's no nutrients in it, exactly. You don't get anything from it.
No.
So they... I wish I could remember this guy's name, because I always want to give him credit, but I can never remember his name. He did it. But he found a way to put nutrient-producing code into rice DNA. So the rice has vitamins and nutrients and everything in it. Yeah, so people can live off of rice. That's amazing.
That's a good way to go about it.
Yeah.
The one that I've heard of, and it's not new news, I guess, is the one they had up at Utah State, where there was a goat that they were trying to mass-produce spider silk, because the spider silk was super, like, strong. Yeah. They were going to make bulletproof vests out of it, and whatever. It's super lightweight, but it's really strong. And they were like, well, we can't just grow spiders, you know? That would take forever to make, like, even one vest, right? So they were like, let's just find a way to mass produce it. So they used a goat or a sheep. I think it was a goat, which is kind of a little ironic because you hold your goats. But it was a goat that had spider silk in its milk.
Yeah.
So they would milk this goat and then take the milk and somehow process it, dry it, or I don't know what they would do, but they would get the silk out of it. And that's how they would mass produce it in order to make it.
I guess there are...
Genetically modified organisms that are good.
The bad part about them,
feel like it's dangerous. It can be, potentially.
Well, that's the bad part is the consumerism part.
Yeah.
Where people just want to make a quick buck.
Right.
Because they make these vegetables that just they pump them up with hormones, mm-hmm. they get them all big and fat and juicy, but the flavor's lacking.
Yep, like the apples.
Or with apples, they actually made them super sweet. So mm-hmm. it's just like the sweetest freaking thing you've ever had. And it's like, this isn't a real apple. You can tell something's wrong with this.
I don't like the Red Delicious, but the Red Delicious, they've done it to where they make them big.
Yeah.
And they're just full of air.
They're just like, they're just
super full of
weird
air.
Weird texture to them. But the problem is, they made them resistant to pesticides.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just spray them with pesticides all the time, which can increase risk of having super bugs.
Right.
Yeah.
Like so the small population of bugs that are resistant to it survive, and then they overcome it.
And reproduce, and then uh-huh. you just have super bugs that won't die from
anything.
Yeah. It's nuts. Yeah, there's good and bad to it. I mean, it's really the...
It's all the conflict of trying to survive.
When there's money to make from it, that's when it goes bad.
Yeah.
Because everybody just wants to make a quick buck.
Right.
That's, yeah.
We'll cut corners like to do we've it. Grown too much as a population.
Yeah, food's too easy to get now.
Yeah. And it's kind of dangerous. I don't know. It's probably happening for a reason, though. It's meant to happen. But I don't know. Population mm-hmm. increase is pretty sketchy.
Just go to Mars. Ruin that planet.
Yeah. Like, there's that new movie coming out.
Life.
Life with the weird brain cell, muscle cell, white, squiggly worm thing.
Yeah. It looks pretty interesting.
It does, but at the same time, I'm just like, that looks kind of dumb.
Yeah, 2 hours of just sitting on a space station.
I wouldn't do it. I don't like those. I can feel claustrophobic.
Right? Yeah.
Those kind of movies that just have, like, one set.
Do you remember My Dinner with Andre? Did you watch that?
I didn't. I watched part of it because of the class we took, but I didn't watch the full thing.
That's one of my favorite movies.
That's interesting. That's a little easier to watch, though, because there's no, like, tension. There's no suspense.
Yeah.
It's just a conversation. Yeah.
But it's, like, 3 hours.
Is it three?
Just a couple guys sitting at a dinner table.
I didn't know it was three.
Yeah, it's long. Like, 2 hours and 45 minutes or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah. It's so good, though. I don't even know what I like about it. I can just watch it.
Oh, I'm gonna go watch it now.
Yeah,
when I have 3 hours to kill.
Yeah, it's a good movie. You just talk about crazy stuff. I don't even. It's hard to explain, but it's a good one.
I still have all of my stuff saved up from that class, Larry Harper's class. I still have all the stuff. We have the sunspots and like the solar eclipse stuff still. I think I even have, like, the Santa Claus mushroom stuff.
Oh,
but I have all of it still. I kept it. I did not throw it away, and I made specific instructions, like, do not touch this.
Yeah.
So I kept all that.
And I think I might have a binder somewhere that has the stuff in it.
Mm-hmm. We got really good articles from him. In fact, I'm going to dive into that for the podcast. I'll dive into those sometime.
For sure. It was some good reads. Interesting discussions.
So Utah is being a little weird right now in the fact that they've lowered the, what is it, blood alcohol content to 0.05. I guess that was this week. And at the same time, they passed a bill or whatever saying that the concealed carry permit age is now 18 to... I guess they have a specific one for 18 to 21.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of like when you get your driver's, what is it?
Permit
instead of a driver's license. So there's still the license or the concealed carry permit for adults from 21 and on, but I guess they have a special one from 18 to 21.
Hmm.
The only conflict I really see happening with that is that there are still 18-year-olds in high school, their senior year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's the only conflict I can really see coming out of it. I mean,
well,
outside of that, a lot of these people go away for 2 years anyway, so big whoop.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's, I don't know what to think of it. I guess
we'll
just have to wait
and see. In Utah.
Right.
I think, because when I was at UVU, they had in the school paper some statistic that a certain percentage of the student body carried a gun either on them or in their backpack.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty high.
You'd be surprised.
It was at least 40%.
Oh, yeah. Even like the student body guy was like doing something.
Yeah.
Trying to make a statement, and he was, like, putting a poster up on the ladder, and when he went up, his shirt showed that he had his gun on
him.
I guess he was trying to make a statement, though, but that's the stupid way to go about it.
Yeah.
The whole purpose of having a concealed carry is to conceal it.
Yeah.
He was trying to make a point, prove a point. I just remember that being a thing when we were there. That's weird, man. There's a lot, though.
As long as there's vetting and training, I'd be okay with it.
I took the class, and I felt like it was a decent class, but there could have been a little more to it.
Mm.
I mean...
Like there wasn't any...
Not necessarily.
Like, shooting range necessary.
And, well, that's not true. Some classes do require, like, a 30-minute on the range. Mm. The one I took didn't necessarily.
Hmm.
But I felt confident enough, and the people that were there were... I was with my cousin and his family, and the other people that were taking the class were already, like, in their 40s or 50s.
Yeah.
So I felt pretty confident that that class was okay to take. But I could have... I left with the feeling that I could have had more.
Right.
They gave me a packet, a PDF.
Could have or should have.
Oh, definitely. Probably should have.
Yeah.
More likely.
Yeah.
Like, they could do that more.
Hmm.
But, yeah, you can conceal carry into banks.
Really?
Unless it's posted outside saying gun-free zone or anything like that, you know?
I feel like they should
so
have
anywhere,
gun-free.
That was the one thing that surprised me the most, is you can conceal carry just about anywhere.
Mm.
I don't think you can on BYU because they have specific rules.
Mm.
BYU's a little more strict.
Yeah.
But other places, you can do it. I wouldn't in a bank, just out of courtesy, you know?
Yeah.
Just, you know, there's certain places
like my
that...
my life.
Right. It's just out of courtesy. Like, it's my decision. I'm going to be nice. I'm not going to try to make a scene, you know?
Yeah.
I don't even have a gun. I have my concealed carry permit, but I don't have a gun
because
I'm poor. I'm getting there.
I've kind of been wrestling with
the only reason
of getting one.
The only reason I was thinking of getting one is because I was going to start driving Uber, and I'm like, you know, I picked up some really cool people.
Yeah.
I've had a blast, but I just, you know, personal protection.
Yeah.
I don't
feel
a need to.
Part of me feels like I'm almost obligated to, just because I have kids.
Right.
And I feel like I need some kind of defense. But
I feel pretty safe myself here.
Yeah, I feel safe.
And we talked about that in a previous episode.
But there are crazy people out there.
Definitely.
That will just kill you for no reason.
And there are more crazy people day by day.
Yeah.
I think it's getting worse.
Yeah. Could be.
But yeah, I don't think there's very many rules on home protection. You can go out and get a shotgun and
keep it
in your
rules.
Home. Or,
but then that's
or hunting
kind of
rifles.
It's kind of a catch-22, because then I have to worry about keeping it out of the way of my kids, you know?
Right, and then you have to lock
it
up and
if you put
stuff.
It in a safe, how good is that for self-defense, you know?
Right.
Somebody breaks in, wait, hold on, let me get my shotgun. Okay, I'm ready now.
They went over a lot of stuff in the class saying, like, oh, we have our own plan, we have a routine set up, we've done drills as a family, and trying to, like, avoid... I mean, I guess he's tried to show his children what it's like to live in a home with a gun so that they're not afraid or they're not curious. Because if they're not afraid or they're not curious, then there's not really much of a threat.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the unknown. You have so much you want to know about it, right? It's
if
so mysterious.
Taboo, it becomes...
Right. Yeah. And then you're drawn towards it.
Yeah.
And that's where a problem arises. But he said that he gave his sons and his daughter, actually, an unloaded gun under his supervision.
Mm.
And he said, here, like... Whatever, you know.
Check it out.
And like he's there right in front of them. He's not leaving the room or anything. He's 2 feet away from him. And them just kind of being familiar with it kind of let them, like, decrease their interest in it.
Yeah.
They were just like, okay, like, whatever. So they have no desire to go into dad's safe and, like, play around with his gun like it's a toy.
Mm.
Like, you hear about on the news, like, people or children getting into this gun safe and accidentally shooting somebody, like their parents or their wife.
Yeah.
Their wife, their friends, just stuff like that, right? So, I don't know, just being familiar with it maybe wouldn't help.
I feel like...
But it's difficult at the same time.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was having a discussion with my parents about pornography and sexuality, and it was kind of my whole family, and my brother came over, and he's going into psychiatry, and he actually works with... people who have problems with, like, pornography addiction, and they were just saying stuff like, oh, we just need to put filters up, and, you know, censorship, and...
There's always the right way around it.
That's totally, in my point of view, that is the exact opposite of what you want to do, because then it creates a curiosity, and then kids get into it, and if they don't have education on what sex is, if their parents don't talk to them... This is my point of view. I'm not saying this is legit medical
I get that.
Whatever, but If parents similar. Just talk to their kids about sex, then they're not going to be curious about it. Because the problem is, in my eyes, with pornography addiction, is that these kids don't know what sex is.
It's kind of like a shady thing, like they covered it up.
Yeah. And then they go online, and they see porn. And it's a show. You know, right. They, what's the word? Kind of fluff it up and make it not real. Like, it's not what real sex is.
No, it's very different. It's acting.
But that's the only thing they've seen and know. So then they're like, oh, well, this is sex. And once you open that door, yeah, your libido kind of wakes up and you become a more sexual person. And if that's the only thing you know, that's all you're going to want to do.
Right.
Then if you try to get into a normal relationship, you're like, oh, well, this isn't...
This is weird. You know,
yeah.
This is not what my expectations were. My perception has been skewed.
It's all, yeah, so you just have these things in your mind where you just think that, oh, when I have sex, it's going to be like this, and it's going to be amazing.
But it's not.
It's different. It's still amazing, but it's not the same. Because it's a show, you know? It's all production value. They just want it to get the most views, and...
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so...
They make money off of it.
Yeah. You just got to talk to your kids. That's all it is, I think.
Yeah, there's definitely difficulty in raising children nowadays. Just so many things that could... happen. Those are two very good examples. I know a lot of people that just are like at that point in their life where like, I hate my parents, I can't wait for them to move out.
Yeah.
I don't want to see them, and I feel sad because that's kind of a relationship don't want to lose.
You
there know, is
if you are too hard on your kid, your kid's going to hate you and you're
going to push him away.
Yeah, but if you're too easy on your kid, a friend, you're not a parent,
he's just going to be let loose.
Yeah, they're not going to take your advice for shit because you're just a friend to them now.
Right.
You gotta be somewhere in the middle.
It's a very hard thing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's funny that we're able to narrow down what's right and wrong when it comes to stuff like that.
In theory, but in practice. Theory,
but it's just like, how do you judge that? How do you perceive that? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the emotion thing. How do you put that on a scale of 1 to 10?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, because you can't
measurement?
Certain what somebody
no
else's experience is.
Correct.
You can't see into their mind.
Nope.
Yeah.
There's no way to measure it physically. So it's a really hard thing to study sometimes.
Yeah. But honestly, with like those personality tests and like astrology, Scorpios and Geminis and all that jazz.
I don't like that.
It's total bullshit.
It's all put in your head.
Well, you put yourself in a box. You're like, oh, they say I'm this because I was born at this time of year.
Uh-huh. And the Chinese calendar.
It's all things that can describe any person.
Right.
Any person can be any personality traits they want.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to choose it, you know?
Correct.
That's what I think.
I've never, ever once even, like, looked at the Zodiac things. I barely even know what I am.
If you just read all the different ones, you're like, oh, well, this applies to me, this applies to me, this applies to me.
Yeah, maybe I should do that.
All,
just read all of them.
It's ridiculous.
No, I've never done sense. It.
And people still look into that stuff. Like when I was dating a little while ago,
mm-hmm.
There was so many people who were just way into, oh, this is my sign. Like, I don't care. It doesn't mean anything. Well, it only means something because you let it mean something. You put yourself in that box.
Correct. And that's what happens when I often find myself like reading a quote I like. I'm like, oh, this applies to me. Because I made it apply to me, right?
Yeah.
I found a connection to it.
Mm.
Or, you know, I twisted my perception or idea into thinking that, oh, this is something that's going on in my life right now.
Jingle, jingle. Stack of Pringles. Kris Kringle.
I can't fit my hand in the Pringles can anymore. They don't like our Facebook page. They don't message us. They're out there. In the wild. They're like rare Pokemon. In the Pringles can anymore. They don't like our Facebook page. They don't message us. They're out there. In the wild. They're like rare Pokemon.